Welcome back. And this is like doing a show on autopilot because I have one of my favorite people on planet Earth tonight, frequent guest and friend to the show out of the kindness of her heart. She is actress, producer, extraordinaire. And I say that in capital letters. She has starred in such films as Blind, Pretty Boy, Space Wars, Quest for the Deep Star, and the upcoming feature films Garden of Eden and Brute 1976. She is the undisputed queen of horror and, I might add, snake charmer extraordinaire. Please welcome the beautiful, the talented, the amazing Sarah French. Sarah, how are you?
I'm great, and I'm blushing right now. You have the best intros.
And it's all true.
Oh, well, I am so happy to be here. Thank you for having me, as always, Brian. I love this show. I'm so excited to talk.
Well, for those of you who don't know Sarah like I know Sarah, Sarah is one of the busiest human beings you're ever going to meet. So the fact that she makes time out of her schedule to do this means the world to me, as she means the world to me. And I know you went on one of your hikes today. So how was it?
You know, you got me. I did. And, you know, yesterday it was raining all day in LA, but then it finally cleared up at night. And then this morning it was chilly, colder than I thought, but I still went out. I did it. And I'm feeling pretty fantastic right now.
Well, Sarah, before we came on the air, Sarah was saying the minute like I called, the weather started getting rough. Yeah. So I'm sensing I brought some like Ghostbusters Frozen Empire energy your way. So I apologize for that.
The rain came back.
Yes.
And the second you called, we had this huge like thunderstorm. And it was like, and we're in LA. And
it,
you know,
just
we don't get
happen.
A lot of thunder, lightning, or anything. And the second you called, it was like, boom. I was like, dang.
There's something so
it's
like, it fits. And I told Sarah, I'm buying a Mega Millions ticket. If I hit it, I'm funding all their films. So I'm stating that on the record. So you can hold me to that, Sarah.
On the record.
speaking of films, we're going to dive right into the deep end. We're going to start off. Tell me about Brute 1976. The premiere was the other night on Joey Netter's birthday. Happy birthday, Joe. Tell me about this movie. Tell me about the inspiration. Tell me what you can about the movie.
Yes. Well, we're very, very, very excited about it. It's the third film from our production company.
Neon Noir,
and we're super excited about it because it's a love letter to the classics, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Hills Have Eyes, you know, the grindhouse films from back then. Like, we love that stuff. So this is kind of our love letter to that genre, to those films. And we recently had a red carpet for it, industry screening, and it went over very well, and we're super excited about it.
You looked incredible. I loved the 70s vibe you had going. You looked beautiful. We're going to use that photo, by the way, to promote this episode, so everyone's going to see it.
Awesome. You know, and I was like, gosh, because it was, you know, we wanted to do a 70s theme because each one of our films, we like to do a theme for the red carpet. And this one was perfect for the 70s. And I was like, gosh, I don't know what to wear. And then I found it online and I was like, oh, that's it.
That was,
I loved it.
So
it fit me like a glove.
And it did.
Yeah, that night was so amazing. It was Joe's birthday too. So we celebrated afterwards with a big cake, and it was just such a magical night. And, you know, before I talk about the movie, I just wanted to say that when you can have these industry screenings for the cast and the crew and, you know, other industry people, it's really amazing and awesome to see it on the big screen. It's, you know, all the hard work and dedication that you put into this, you know, you get to see with your peers, with friends and family and your cast and crew, and it's just really a wonderful feeling. And I love that, you know, with each one of our films, we always like to do a special screening. So absolutely. I'm very grateful that we're able to do that.
And you put so much time and effort into it. It's like you finally get to enjoy it. Have that night where it all comes to a head and it's like, look what we did. Look what we made.
It's, you know, those that have, you know, heard our previous podcasts, you know, this is just making a film is hard.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is hard from beginning to, you know, to end. The whole process is challenging, even selling the film. So, you know, when you can have those moments of just, we did it. It's such an amazing thing to be a part of the process. And I love it so much.
I could tell. And not only from talent alone, but your enthusiasm. And this woman's also on German TV, FYI. So I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, with each one of these, we have a special German TV show that comes out, and they film us. They actually filmed the German TV show filmed part of the film, the making of Brut. Also, they came out to the desert and they spent the day with us. And I believe they aired that episode already. It's Goodbye Deutschland.
Wow. Okay.
So really great team of people, and you know, it was cool that they were able to be there to, you know, document everything, and they really seemed to enjoy themselves.
How can you not? I mean, let's talk about this time period, because I love not only was I born in the 70s. Yes, I'm dating myself, but the appeal of the 70s, because it's before technology. I think people were more trusting during those times, so there wasn't which is perfect fodder for horror, because so tell me why was this time period chosen, and tell me about the movie, what you can, again.
Well, let me just read you the synopsis, because it's a great synopsis and it gives you a good idea on what the film is. All right. In 1976, Raquel and her girlfriend have car trouble and break down on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere. They stumble upon an abandoned mine and decide to explore it. At the same time, a group of people are in the desert for a photo shoot. The plan is to do a salt and pepper styled shoot to celebrate the bicentennial unity sweeping across the nation. The magazine cover will feature two models, Roxy and Raquel. Since Raquel doesn't show up, they enlist Sunshine, the makeup artist, to take her place. After the shoot, they stumble upon an abandoned town called Savage. It has a history of being very violent, but has been vacant for years. It's a perfect place to explore and take some photos. But they are not alone. Ooh. A family of masked psychopaths have claimed Savage as their own and are hell-bent on living up to its name.
That already, I need to see this movie. That is so great. That just, first of all, that was a beautiful summation. So you're right. I mean, wow. I'm sensing there were a lot of night shoots on this one for some reason.
It's not a spoiler, but it's the whole movie takes place during the day.
Oh, that's really cool. Actually,
and we did that because, you know, most horror films take place at night. It's scary at night. You can, you know, you feel safe during the day.
Yes.
But this, we wanted to make you feel like, guess what? You're not safe during the day or at night.
Brilliant. And
so we wanted to kind of flip the switch with that. And a lot of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre took place during the day, too.
That's very true.
And Save a Hills Have Eyes as well.
Yeah. And it's a lot easier to film during the day. So you know.
Yes. Yeah, it is, but it isn't where we shot. We shot in the Nevada desert.
Oh, my
And
goodness.
We were, like, in this, like, canyon. So when the sun would go down, it would go down at, I would say, like, it would go down earlier than it should because
we're,
like, nestled in this canyon. So the sun would go down behind the mountain. So we were fighting for light most of the days.
Oh my God.
But we made it work because, you know, we started early and we don't go over 12 hours. We actually, I think each day it was like 11 hours.
Wow.
Not, or 10 or not, something like that. So they weren't like long days at all.
And what was your, what was, yeah, go ahead.
But it's rough shooting in the desert, let me tell you. I've shot in the desert a handful of times. And
oh, you're like a pro at shooting in the desert. Oh, yeah.
And when, I love it because you get that feeling of isolation.
Yes.
And that's what I love about this film is it's very isolated. There's no one around. We shot in this really cool ghost town. So everything was there that we needed. Joe wrote the script around the whole town. So
wow.
It had everything we needed. So yeah, we're super excited about it. And you know, it's just, it's so dirty. It's grimy. It's, you know, everyone's sweaty. And
man, this is, this just sounds,
it's just, I just love that feeling. And it, you know, it takes place in the '70s. So there's not cell phones. There's not, you know, miles away for, you know, even a payphone. So
no,
you get that just feeling of just you're alone. You're truly alone.
It's the perfect time period. As you said, it's pre-cell phone. It is.
And yes. And the wardrobe is, I
oh love my
the
God, wardrobe,
yeah, from the '70s, the old cars. I mean, just, it was such a different time. And, you know, we used, you know, everything that kind of took place in the '70s as well. So, we really brought the '70s back to life in this film, and I'm so excited about it.
Oh my God. And there's something like with you, well, you're timeless. You can play any time period. You can play even in the future, as we saw in Space Wars. But I loved those stills of you from the '70s. There was something like, it was very like Charlie's Angels, Bionic Woman. Like, you rock the '70s, I have to say.
You.
You're so welcome.
You know, I got to give props to Marcel. He did the wardrobe for the movie, and he freaking nailed it.
Oh,
he's like so good at that kind of stuff. So,
what are you allowed? What are you allowed to tell me about your character in the movie? I know.
So I play Sunshine. I'm the makeup artist.
Wonderful. And
I'm, you know, we go out to the desert to do this photo shoot, and I mean, she's just really happy and excited to be there and, you know, to shoot this cover and, you know.
And chaos ensues. What was the impetus, Sarah, for this movie? Did Joe just come home one day and go, I want to do a 1970s? Like, I know you said it's a tribute to those films, but was he stuck on that, or was that something you kind of floated out there, or did it just come together organically?
Well, we've always wanted to do, I know Joe's always wanted to do a film like this because,
yeah,
you know, one of his favorites is actually Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
But you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 1, I mean, it's just such a classic, and we wanted to, you know, have our own re-envisioning of it in a way. And, you know, kind of do our own thing and bring the '70s back to life. But, and Joe was born in 1976. So the '70s definitely holds, you know, a place in his heart. And,
yeah,
you know, Marcel loves these, he loves creepy desert, you know, isolation, yeah, films too. So we all just kind of love that. And our love for horror, you know, really shines through this. And Joe's love for horror shines through it with the script, and you know, it shines through with, you know, Marcel's directing and all of our producing it together, and it just, it's a combination of all of our favorite things that we love growing up.
Oh.
And you know, bringing to life on screen.
You're speaking my language, and I will, because it's you, I will be honest with everyone, I was born in 73, so I was 3 years old when this movie in theory takes place. So I am very excited to see this. I am.
I can't wait. I can't wait. We're super excited. And You know, like I said, this is the third film from our production company, and with each film, we want to go bigger and bigger, and this one's definitely the biggest one as far as the scope, the budget, and just overall, you know, we only cast a handful of people from Vegas, but most of all of us came from LA, so it was, you know, very expensive.
I was going to say, that's not cheap, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it's not. It was very expensive to bring all of us out there. And so, you know, it's a very special project. And we're very excited. And, you know, we want to give it a really good home. So we, now that it's finished, we're starting to look at distro companies. So,
which is amazing.
We already sent out the screener to a handful, so we'll see.
Not only will we see, but we will see it on streaming sites and DVDs. And by the way, anybody in marketing, you put Sarah on the cover, because, you know, I'm just saying, you know, Space Wars, she should have been on the cover. I'm going to state that for the record. So let's get Sarah on the cover for this thing.
See.
No. It needs to happen. Distro companies, put Sarah on the cover. Thank you.
Yeah, we definitely want to give it a really good home, because it's something very special. And and Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
You know, that one where we are shopping around at distro companies as well as we speak. So we have Garden of Eden and Brute 1976 rearing and ready to go.
That's unbelievable. I am so excited to see Garden of Eden 2, which we are definitely going to talk more about, because that movie just has me. I love, like, cults. I love that whole vibe. I find it so unsettling. So
The thing, Garden of Eden is such a different film, and that's what we love. Like,
that's what you're trying to do.
With the three films that we've done so far, each of them are different, and we started in 2022, and we have three feature films. So
I love it.
Which is amazing. And I'm so grateful.
It's huge.
So grateful.
It's such an accomplishment. It's such an accomplishment.
But each film, we want to do something different.
Absolutely.
And we had That's a Wrap. That was more of a 90s style scream slasher. And then we have Garden of Eden, which is, you know, it's like a cultish, very A24 style, fucked up religious horror film.
Good way to put it.
And then now we have Brute, which is our, you know, kind of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Hills Have Eyes period piece. So we're doing something different every time. And we have a whole other line of scripts that we have ready to go as well. So we just want to see how, you know, Garden of Eden does,
of course,
and Brute. And then from there we can, you know, start hopefully cranking out more. So
we've talked before about one in particular type of film that I know you're already on board with. I want to see you in a fairy tale, you know, a fairy tale horror film. And I want to see you in a traditional Western. I think you would be such a badass as the gunslinging badass. I would love to see you in that.
I would love that. And I'm hoping that will happen at some point, because I would just have such a blast with that.
You would. You'd be so great. Especially if you put the little horror element in it. It would just that would work. I'm just letting you, and you can steal that idea. You go right ahead, because I want to see you in it.
Yeah, I would totally be down for a Western. That, like, for anybody listening,
yes,
I would love to do a Western at some point. I have been in some talks over the last couple of years, so
of course you have,
with different people. So we'll see. It may happen at some point. Hopefully sooner than later.
Well, Sarah French is one of the busiest performers, not just producing, but also performers. You have people reaching out to you constantly, trying to get you on board. I believe you have Slasher Size coming up.
Yeah,
that looks fun too.
Oh my gosh, that is a total ode to the
80s. Yes.
The Linnea Quigley exercise workout. What is that called? Brain farting. But yeah, that one was so much fun. And that one actually should be coming out soon. Wow. It's not a full feature. I believe it's just like a short.
Okay, right.
Kind of like an episode, because I think they want to do more.
Right.
Which would be really, I think would be really cool. So I believe they're going to be making VHSs for it. And
I love that.
And yeah.
That's probably what appealed to you, because I know you're picky and you've earned the right to be picky. So it has to grab your attention for you to go, yeah, I'm on board with this.
Oh yeah. And it was, a handful of years ago. I don't remember if you saw, I know you saw the picture, but, Amelie and I, she's the director of this, Amelie.
Yes.
And she did, we did this modeling, photo years ago for a Slashback video.
Yes.
And it was me dressed up in this 80s workout attire with the big crazy hair. And I'm lifting these weights that have skulls on them. But it was a picture that we took for a VHS cover for this art show.
I love that.
Do you remember that photo?
I do. I know exactly what you're talking about, too. I know exactly the photo you're talking about.
And, and it's called Slashercise.
Yes.
And then Amma, years later, with Vanessa Decker, they produced and directed and, you know, created this as a real thing. So I think that's so cool. It has so many wonderful names in it. Diana Prince, Kelly Maroney, Felissa Rose, Lisa Wilcox, a whole slew of great ladies. Oh, and we were able to get, who else am I thinking of?
It's going to hit you.
Joe Bob.
Oh, there we go.
As well.
Wow. See, Sarah, you never have boring stories. You always have such exciting projects in the fire. What are some of your other releases coming out? Because I know you have a lot. There's a lot upcoming.
Well, I just, let's see, what do I got?
It's hard sometimes because you film these things and then you kind of leave it up to the editing gods and their. So sometimes you don't even know when something you were in is coming out. So I know it's a lot.
Well, what we still have, we're still hoping to have DVDs for That's a Wrap, physical media. So we're still searching for physical media for That's a Wrap.
Which was so much fun.
Hopefully we'll get that later this year. But it is on streaming, so definitely, you know,
watch it.
Yeah, definitely check it out.
Definitely. It's so much fun. And Sarah plays such a unique character. I loved your character in it. It was so so complex. Like, I just love the way you played her. So definitely people need to watch
Harper
that.
Harper is very much me.
Yeah.
She's been through the ringer and back. She started from the bottom and worked herself all the way to the top. And, you know, she's very proud of all the work that she's done. And, you know, she's not going to go down easy.
Definitely not.
She's a fighter.
Yes, that is definitely one word for her, is a fighter. So, yes. People, I'm just letting people
and
know.
Slashercise should be coming out soon. I think maybe right now it's coming out on streaming. I'm not sure, but I'll definitely be posting it online all over when it does. And then we also have, like I said, Garden of Eden and Brute 1976. You know, rearing to go. So hopefully we'll be hearing something from that soon. And Pretty Boy.
Yes.
I have some updates on that.
Please.
That should be coming out early next year.
Thank God, because I've been waiting to see this sequel for a long time. Yes.
Which
you were phenomenal in. You must see Blind. If you're listening to this podcast, go find Blind and watch Sarah's performance. She is amazing. And
it's crazy. It's already 5 years now.
No, it has not. That was not 5 years ago. You're kidding.
Yeah. 2018.
Oh my gosh, Sarah. That's crazy.
I think it came out 2018.
You know, I think you're right, but that's just that just blows my mind because I feel like we were just talking about it like not terribly long ago, and it was fun. Wow. And so, yeah, so this sequel needs to be out there because people that are watched it, they were left on that cliffhanger-esque type of ending.
Yes.
And we want to see.
Actually, no, it was 2019.
Okay. Yeah.
That's when it came out. But, yeah. And we shot Pretty Boy soon after that.
Right. I remember that.
It's been ready to go for years. It just, you know, sometimes just, it just takes a long time.
It's a process. I know firsthand. It's a process. It's a lot more complicated than people realize. And
it really is. And it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't. No, you're right.
It shouldn't be.
But there are hurdles and formats that have to be adhered to. Yeah. And there's a whole marketing plan that has to be put in place. Like people, if they knew the underbelly of it, a lot of people would probably second guess jumping into the pool.
Yeah, but I have to say, I really love being a part of the process.
Absolutely.
It's such a learning thing. Like, there's just so much to learn about filmmaking.
Yeah.
In all aspects. And, you know, you learn something new every single day, whether you're on set, in front of the camera, behind the camera. It's something new surprises me every day, whether it's good or bad.
Right. No, you're absolutely right.
But I love being a part of the process because, again, you know, I've learned so much, and I think a lot of that has helped me.
Oh, it's sure.
You know, in front of the camera and behind. So it's been really a really wonderful journey. And
well,
we're excited to continue it. We have a lot of big plans this year with the company, and you know, and we all do our own separate things too.
Sure,
Marcel,
do.
You know, being the director, he directs other things. Joe writes, you know, a bunch of things. He has a lot of things in the works. You know, and I have a lot of other acting gigs, you know, also. So we're all just, you know, just taking it one day at a time and while doing our own thing, which I'm really grateful to do that.
Absolutely. And, you know, you're so young and beautiful, but the funny thing is you're also a veteran because you started young. And
technically I did start young, but I started a long time ago.
Shush.
I think I was mid-20s.
Yeah, but the thing is, you look mid-20s right now. So that's what I'm telling you. You're young.
Yes. Yes, and I feel young, and I feel great. Oh, and I should mention, so I don't think I told you, Brian, but I posted it all over online.
Yeah, go ahead.
I stopped drinking.
Congratulations.
December 1st.
That's incredible.
Not 100%. Okay, I get it.
You peeled it back.
I only drink socially, and I don't go out much. So maybe like once a month.
You and I have a lot more.
If I drink, it's like a glass or two of wine, you know, something like that. But I got to tell you, and for those of you who are listening, it's such a game changer.
It is.
When you stop, you know, drinking alcohol.
It's true.
I mean, I feel so much better. I lost 15 pounds, like,
unbelievable.
Within the first month.
Unbelievable.
Which is crazy.
Well, you know, that's how I am. I do the exact same thing. I will only drink occasionally, and I'm like you. I don't go out much, so I almost don't drink. You know, it's like 99%, but it has to be a special occasion, and that's it. And you're nice, right.
And it's nice to be able to drink on special occasions.
Yes.
You know, whether you're out with your friends or, you know, whatever. But it just makes it so when you do have a glass of wine or two, it's like, okay, this feels good. And it's not, you know, like, oh, I need more than that to feel anything.
Totally.
But it just makes it special. And you know, it's good just to limit yourself because that stuff's not good for you.
No, I mean,
honestly. It makes you feel like crap.
It does.
And especially when you work in this industry that's so wishy-washy, and you know, you never know when your next gig is going to be, and it's easy to get depressed.
Yes, well, it is.
When you top that with alcohol, it just
magnifies.
It's not a good combination. So if you just steer clear from that, you're so much better off.
Always love your
real talk. Hashtag real talk.
Damn right. Hashtag real talk. And that's why I love every time talking to you, because Sarah gives no bullshit answers. She is just Sarah uncensored. And that's what I love. You'll just tell it like it is.
I try to, you know, say it in like nice ways and not like.
Well, here's an honest question for you. What are your best and worst habits on set?
Oh,
is there?
I don't know about the best and worst, but okay. The question is, while I'm acting and producing, or just acting?
Let's make it easy on it. Let's just do acting, because that I feel okay. Like producing, you have your hands full.
Oh my god, there's just too much going on. I get very in my head.
Yeah.
And I'm very focused. So I don't tend to talk a lot when I'm on set.
Now that's interesting. Okay. That's very interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Usually until I'm wrapped for the day, or especially if I have a heavy dialogue day,
sure.
or it's emotionally heavy. I steer clear from everyone, and I try to do my own thing. I like to run lines and rehearse with people as much as I can with other actors. And it's always great when people want to do that. Because there's some actors out there like, no, I don't want to do that. It's like, come on, we want to be the best we can be when we're in front of the camera ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, we need a feel for each other, especially if we don't have a time for a table read or whatever. Rehearsing is very important, and very important to me.
Sure is.
But yeah, I'm very focused, and you know, I guess if I have to pick a worst habit, if the crafty section is nearby, I like to get some sweets sometimes.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. You listen, you burn it off anyway with all these damn hikes.
I try to steer clear as much as I can.
You're always hiking anyway. It doesn't matter. You even hike on set when you're wrapped. I know you. You'll go out and explore. I know you do. Like, where's Sarah? Oh, she's out hiking. Just leave it. Let's just keep going. She's on her hike.
Actually, fun fact, when I was shooting Rootwood, the first movie I did with Marcel, we were shooting in the Santa Monica Mountains, and it's just such a beautiful area. And if you haven't seen the film, definitely check it out. There's a lot of beautiful aerial shots that
I actually saw it, and you're right.
This forest is, it's just was such an amazing location. But I was done shooting for the day, and you know, we had this camper, and I was like, well, I could just sit in this camper, or I could go out, get some exercise, and enjoy nature that's right around me. So I went and had a couple hour hike, and the scary part was there's no cell phone service really in that area, so I was kind of risking it, because also in that area, there are black bears.
Oh my God.
There are, you know, lions and.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no words.
But I'm here to talk about it today. So we're all okay.
Sarah, you are a badass, because if someone even said the word to me, black bear, I'm like, yep, staying right here, staying right on set.
Right. And I saw a deer. It was an eight point buck.
Oh my
and
God.
I was like, okay, he was looking at me and I was looking at him, and he was in the distance a little bit. I'm like, let's just hope he doesn't come running after me, because this would not end well.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, look, you know, wildlife is usually more scared to you, but sometimes you have to be careful.
This is all.
Oh, I did see another bobcat, by the way.
Oh my God. When? On one of your hikes?
Two weeks ago, when I was hiking, a cute little bobcat came running out from me. I was like, oh my God.
You notice how she words it? Cute little bobcat. Like, most people would see a bobcat and freaking haul ass. Sarah's like, look how cute it is.
Like, wait, I need to get a photo and video of you.
You're unbelievable.
They're so pretty. And they're, look, I mean, they're more scared of us than we are of them. So, you know, as long as you're, you know, you play it safe, you do all the right things, you know, you're fine.
My Life in the Jungle, The Life and Times of Sarah French, going to be hitting bookstores soon. I'm just letting people know. Ace Ventura, yes, does have a female counterpart. It's Sarah French.
Oh, yes. let's not forget my cute snake, Eden.
Yes. Who
which you mentioned in the opening. Thank you.
Absolutely. Who's your co-star in Garden of Eden, by the way.
Yes. She makes a wonderful appearance in Garden of Eden, and she had her own director's chair and everything.
And the thing is, she didn't let it go to her head, which was nice. She's remained the humble snake that she is, and we all appreciate that.
Yes, but I did tell Joe and Marcel, I said, the next movie we do, she's in it again. So we're going to bring her back.
Love it. And it's easy to get because she lives in your house, so it's perfect.
Exactly. And she's very well just behaved and trained, and she's such a good girl.
Unbelievable.
She's my little sunshine.
Yes. And that's what I love about Sarah, is she is like Dr. Doolittle. She will take any creature and it just like, it falls under her power like Snow White. Like everyone, all these animals love Sarah. So.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I even told this story. Okay. So while we were shooting Brute, we're in this, you know, desert and this ghost town, and it was late at night, and we wrapped, almost everyone left, and it was me, our key PA, Sarah, and our one of our photographers was there, and it was late at night, and we were stargazing, and it was just the three of us, and we had to lock up all the trailers and, you know, take the production band back to Henderson for the night. And we were just out there stargazing, because in the desert, because there's no lights anywhere, you can see everything. And it's just,
wow,
one of the most beautiful things. You can see the Milky Way. You can see the planets. You can see, I mean, meteors, everything.
Wow.
And, you know, so when we were done, it was pitch black. And I'm walking back to the van, and I see this black blob on the ground, and I step over it. Luckily, step over it. As I'm walking to the van, I go in the van. I'm like, wait a second. What was that black blob? I grab my phone. I turn the flashlight on. I shut the door to the van. I turn around, and it's a freaking tarantula.
Are you shitting me? No. See?
It's a desert tarantula. I scream off the top of my lungs.
Oh, my God. I would have, too.
And Sarah comes running, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's a tarantula. And this cute tarantula, I'm going to say cute because he was, he's just sitting there like, oh, my God, what's happening? Because I'm sure he's scared out of his mind from me screaming and the light on him. And he's just trying to do his own thing, you know?
I would have flipped out.
After I flipped out, I got kind of close to him, and I was getting some videos and photos.
Of course you did.
And I named him Henry because he just looks like a Henry. And he just sat there, like, chilling.
Unbelievable.
It was just a really cool moment. And I just, but we didn't see Henry after that, unfortunately. So he was just on his way to, you know, live his life. And he gave us a nice little hello. And
Henry is hitchhiking his way to your place right now. That's why you didn't see him, Sarah. That's what's going to happen. You're going to hear this little tiny tap on the door. Just look down. Gosh. Just look down when you open the door, because it's going to be Henry. I'm just letting you know it's happening.
Oh, it was a trip. I'm telling you, that shoe was a trip.
See, this is why.
And we saw a bunch of rattlesnakes.
See now,
tons of rattlesnakes. And
get fazed.
It's funny. The owners of this ghost town, what they do is sometimes they'll trap the snakes. They won't kill them or anything, but they'll. I shouldn't say this,
Go
but
ahead.
They'll they'll let them loose on, like, if they have, like, a neighbor that they don't like or something, they'll let them loose on their property.
That is freaking hilarious. I mean, that works.
He told us that we were dying.
That is amazing. I mean, that would work with me. If I saw a rattlesnake, I'm heading in the other direction. Not you, but me. Sarah would be like, oh, what do I name it?
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to have to come up with something funny.
Oh, it's Cuddles, the rattlesnake.
Yes!
I have a weird question for you. What's one movie that you love watching that Joe hates, and one movie that Joe loves that you hate?
Oh, God. Well, I can tell you the Joe one.
All right.
His? One that... He loves watching Mother's Day. That's... Do you remember that one?
Yes. Yes, I do.
That movie, like, I don't hate it, but...
But it doesn't...
I'm not a huge fan. There's just something... It's just... To me, it's just... I don't know. I get, like, this creepy feeling from it because it's just very, like, sexual and...
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm not... I have to say I'm not a huge fan of that movie, so I get it.
But he loves that movie, so he'll... Like, if he's trying to irritate me or something, he'll put that on. And I'm like, oh, very funny. Gosh.
There's got to be one that you love that he doesn't watch. Even if it doesn't have to be horror. Just a movie.
One that pops up in my head that a long time ago, you know, I played it. And he's like, oh, I don't like this one. And then a year later, I was like, oh, I wanna watch this one again. He's like, oh, I hate that movie. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. You don't like that one. It's a movie called Mortuary.
I know that movie.
You do?
Yeah. I know Mortuary.
It stars the mom from Pet Sematary.
Yes. Yes.
What's her name? Denise.
Oh gosh. The name doesn't stick with me, but the face does.
Yes. And she stars in it, and for some reason, I really love that movie.
I was a fan, I have to say.
Joe was like, ugh, I don't like that one. Can we watch something different?
That's...
I know, it's such a random movie because it didn't get bigger or anything. It's
no.
You know, but I don't know. I like that movie. I mean, it takes place in a creepy old abandoned mortuary house.
That's what got me. I was like, okay, I can get down with this.
You know, it was by the house, and it just, I don't know, I just really liked it.
I love that. See, you came up with the answer. You didn't think you knew, but you did.
I did.
I have a question for you. What is on your non-acting bucket list? Is there any, there's like, even if it's random, like whatever, what's something you want to do that's not acting? Because I know acting is like, you know, it's all consuming. It's a big part of your life. It's a big, major part of your life, and it's what you love. But is there like a destination, an activity that you haven't done yet that you want to do?
You know, it's funny you ask this because Joe and I've been watching a lot of like survival type shows lately.
Yeah,
we're big fans of Survivor.
Yeah, there you go.
And we've been watching Deal or No Deal. And that's right now it's taking place on like this island, kind of like a Survivor type thing. But we've been watching the new Survivor, and I was like, you know, I would love to try to do some sort of like
Survivor
type game. Like where, you know, where they have to go through all these.
You would be so good at that. Like, you would.
What am I trying to say? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like a...
Like the Tough Mudder things. Like those Tough Mudder competitions, but on like...
Yeah, you go through all these...
Yeah.
Like things where you have to climb stuff.
Yeah, the obstacles. Like the obstacle course. Things, yeah.
Obstacles. Like, I would actually love to try that. And I know in Northern California, they have a handful of like obstacles in trees because the trees are so huge. Like in the Redwood Forest and stuff like that, they have like these really cool obstacle type things that you can do. I'm definitely afraid of heights, but I would actually like to maybe try that sometime.
You would be so good at that.
I like to test myself.
Yes, you do.
And like in the gym, I'll test myself.
Oh, yes. You
know, with flipping the tires.
And I've seen your videos. Yes, you do.
I like to see what I can physically do.
That's incredible.
And I like to challenge myself. So I think that's kind of on the bucket list for at some point. And it's funny because I was just talking to Joe about that. Like, I would love to do something like that.
You'd be so good at that. What, even on one of those shows, you would do well at that. One of those TV, you'd kill it.
I can't do those. No way. I would never do those shows. My personality is not right for that.
Sarah, Ninja Warrior.
Well, trust me.
So no Ninja Warrior.
The physical part of it, I would definitely like to try,
yeah,
but not the personality part. That's not my thing.
Well, whether
it's a special person to be able to do that kind of stuff and
I
more
hear
power
you.
To them, that is not me.
I love that. See, that's a no bullshit answer, which I always love about you. And you know, you spoke about your exercise routine, and on more than one occasion, I want you to know personally, from me to you, like, you've inspired me. I've had those days where I didn't feel like getting on the bike, or I didn't feel like going for a run or do it. And I see your video and I'm like, fuck, I got to get out there and do this. Cause like, Sarah looks 20 years old and she's killing it. And the only way you can achieve those results is to just do it. So I appreciate you.
Yes.
For that, among many other things, I appreciate you for. But thank you for being that way and inspiring.
I try to help inspire. That's why I post a lot of the videos and things, you know, because it's, you know, health and fitness is so important.
Yeah.
And especially as you get older, it's one of those things that you have to just do it, because it's only going to go downhill from here. So if you can keep up a really good routine, you know, really good habits in the kitchen, and you know, your exercise routines, it's going to make your longevity that much better, you know, as you get older.
And what,
you know, because it just gets harder from here. So
it does.
If you can somehow, you know, do something, anything, just get out there. And you know, the biggest is, I would say, it all starts in the kitchen.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's all what you put into your body, and that was a big wake-up call for me when I decided to stop drinking. In December, I went and got end of November, I got a physical, and my weight, when she weighed me, I was like, I knew I wasn't happy with what my weight was at the time. And I got on the scale and I was just like, oh my God, like, I was so unhappy. And then my physical, everything came back pretty good. Cause I'm, you know, pretty good in the health wise in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And it was the alcohol, I'm telling you.
Wow.
And well, so once I decided that day, I was like, okay, something needs to change, and I know what it is. And so because I would drink at home, and I wouldn't drink a lot, but it's just even adding that, you know, a few times a week, it makes a difference when you just cut it out.
You know what it does?
You will see results. I promise you.
I completely agree with you. And I think it drags you down when you have those, like, after
physically, yes, mentally, emotionally. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I remember
it's really been a game changer for me, I'm telling you.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And for those listening, maybe if you're in a similar state and you're thinking, well, what's that ingredient that I could remove from my routine? I think Sarah just hit it on the head. Maybe think about what Sarah just said and give it a shot, because I think you're going to feel lighter, brighter, and feel more motivated.
Yes. And then, you know, you wake up the next day, you're feeling refreshed. Because you don't have that, you know, all that sugar that's in there, and you know, additives or whatever the hell else is in there.
Yeah.
you know, you feel good, and I wouldn't change anything for the world. Never again.
And you know, I know you're an early riser, and you do your routine, and what keeps you just so mentally positive? Because I really classify you as a genuinely positive person. And to me, that goes hand in hand with success. So the most successful people I know are exactly like you. They choose the glass half full mindset. So how do you maintain that?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
I would say I'm a Taurus.
Yeah.
And I like routine. Once I get in a good routine and I'm very happy and comfortable with that, then it's hard for me to change. And, you know, once I start seeing results, then that motivates me even more.
Yeah.
And so it's just about getting in a really good routine, something that you're happy with, something that you're comfortable with, and, you know, seeing results. And that's what personally motivates me. And nature, being out in nature is like one of my biggest motivators as well. And challenging myself.
Yeah.
Like the hikes I go on are super steep incline. You know, I get a good sweat in. I don't know. It's finding what makes you happy. And what makes you, you know, motivated. And then once you find that sweet spot, then stick with it.
I love that. It's so true. And like even what you said about getting out in nature, like I went for a walk earlier because I felt like my day just wasn't complete. I needed to like feel the sun on my face. I needed to, you know, watch the trees and watch it resets your brain. It really does. You come back in a completely different mindset. So I get where you're coming from with that.
Yeah, it's such a wonderful thing if you can. But yes. I know. You know, you're over in New York, so.
Well, I was. I'm in Pennsylvania now, but I was in New York for many, many, many moons. So, but now I'm actually in a neighborhood, which is nice. So, no crazy New Yorkers, you know, all over. No offense, New York, but I'm glad I'm not there anymore.
but as far as that, like if you can't get outside, you know, when you can, you know, it's creating a space, in your home that makes you happy.
Yeah.
Like something that makes you happy and comfortable, and you know, finding that sweet spot as well within your home, within yourself, and then, you know, when you're out and about as well.
Boom. Sarah French, I don't think you could have summed this up any better. And I cannot believe once again how time, we talked about this before we went on the air. Time just flies when I talk to her. And it's like we're talking, and I look down, I'm like, there's no way we've been talking for almost an hour. I thought we were like, 25 minutes. No, it's been almost an hour because I adore this woman right here. I love you so much. I cannot tell you what a gift you are to my life. And I mean that sincerely. And I'm glad I can tell you on the air because I just think you're absolutely amazing. And you're such a treasure. And I'm so blessed to call you a dear friend. And also the film industry is so lucky to have you in it because your talent shines. So never forget that.
Thank you, Brian. And I feel all the same with you as well. You're freaking amazing.
You are. And tell me what you're going to do for the rest of your night.
Well, instead of drinking wine, because sometimes when I would do, you know, your show, I would have a nice glass of wine and chill. No, I have some coffee. So now I'm going to be wired.
Funny you said that because I had a coffee an hour before, just an hour ago.
I think I'm going to make some nice healthy tacos.
Love
and,
that.
Joe and I are going to watch the new seasons of True Detective with Jodie Foster.
Yes, I'm hearing good things. So I will have to plug
four
in.
Episodes in, and it's freaking fantastic.
Oh, well, see, there we go. That's all the endorsement I need.
I love it personally. I love it.
I'm on board. I got to watch this. But before, listen, before anybody watches anything, they need to watch your films, including Space Wars, Quest for the Deep Star, including That's a Wrap, including Blind, and the soon-to-be sequel on streaming, Pretty Boy. And keep an eye out for Garden of Eden and Brute 1976, which I am so excited to see, my dear friend.
Yay!
It's neon noir. Also, look up Sarah French. You will not regret it. Look up her body of work and watch her films. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. I love the stuff on Tubi, too.
Yeah, and trust me, it's well worth the time. So anybody listening to this tonight, watch it tonight. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Sarah French, will you come back sometime, please?
Always. I'm always doing something new, so I will definitely be back on soon. Hell yeah.
That means the world to me because she is, yes, that busy. I'm going to ask Sarah to hold on 1 second before she goes and watches her films. But until then, this is Brian Hobson for the beautiful Sarah French. We'll see you next week.